Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith, and co-host, Eric Howdige. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and APCO Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fix Operations Training Director with EasyCare, with my co-host, the star of the show, Eric Howdige. Eric, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing? What an introduction, Corey, the star of the show. Come on, man. I love that. We have the real star of the show on today.
Let's talk about him. Why don't you introduce him to our audience?
All right. Our guest today on our podcast is Eric. And Eric, I want to make sure I pronounce this correct. Is it Eric Meehan? Is that correct?
Yep, you nailed it.
As you can tell by my last name, I work on last names all the time. Eric, tell our audience a little bit about you, your title, and the company you work for.
Yeah, you got it. So I work for a company called Repair on Demand. I'm the Senior Vice President of Product. That means there's a handful of products in the automotive reconditioning space that roll up to me. I've been in automotive reconditioning for about 15 years. Started with Dent Lizard, which most people are familiar with, and have transitioned into automotive tech and been there ever since.
Wow. Cool. When you said Dent Lizard, you just brought me back to my service advisor days. I love it.
Yep.
Yeah. We used Dent Lizard quite a bit when I was an advisor. So Eric, this episode is going to be called The Road to 2026, Innovation, Speed, and Reconditioning, the revolution of it, right? So we're going to talk, we're going to get real in depth with this. And since you're the resident expert, I'm going to start with this question for you, Eric. What trends are you seeing now that you believe will define reconditioning and service operation for 2026?
Yeah, that's a good question. One of the big trends we're seeing right now is really reconditioning is starting further up the process during the appraisal process of vehicles. So customers are starting to use tools like BlueDriver, which is a tool that scans vehicles so they can better understand what's wrong with the vehicle, how much they're going to spend in reconditioning. And then if they choose to acquire the vehicle, a lot of that data goes right into the reconditioning process that kind of helps them get a head start before they even get the vehicle to the recon shop itself.
Okay.
Yep. A couple other things that we've noticed that are kind of playing out is dealers are really getting better at making decisions based off of data, right? So if you're still measuring all of your reconditioning through spreadsheets and post-it notes, you're kind of behind the times. Now they're using tools that give them data at their fingertips so they can help make better decisions on what they should be reconditioning, how fast they should be reconditioning, and where they should be allocating their resources. Lastly, the other thing that's really starting to pick up is better vendor management, right? So everybody has limited resources on how much they can recondition in-house. So they rely on sublets and doing a better job of understanding what the sublet costs are, how long sublets are actually holding on to vehicles so they can make sure that the sublet operation isn't actually the bottleneck in the reconditioning process.
That's really interesting, Eric. I like these trends. Because Eric and I talk about, you know, KPIs and trends in the service department all the time, and we talk about it in F&I too. What's the data that they're looking at? What are their KPIs telling you that they need to be at? What's the minimum, I guess I should say?
Yeah, I mean, we always hear things like, you know, I want to be 3 to 5 days cycle time for my units to get reconditioning ready. I mean, some of that's variable just depending on how old the vehicle is, how much reconditioning they need to put into the vehicle. But for sure, they should be measuring that. They should be measuring their tech efficiency, measuring their spend per vehicle, understanding how much they're spending on parts, how often they're needing to return parts because they're incorrect. How often they're actually supplementing on the vehicle because their first inspection didn't actually capture all the data. So there's a series of things that if they nail and hammer and hit those KPIs, they'll definitely be more efficient as an operation.
Wow. Okay. That's really cool.
I want to talk about what's broken in the traditional reconditioning process and how is technology like Repair 360 solving for it?
Yeah. So the thing that we still see today, which is kind of hard to believe, is a lot of the reconditioning process today simply just isn't measured and you can't manage what you don't measure. And even dealerships that have tools today to help them measure it, a lot of times they're just tracking very basic sets of information like my car's in the body shop, my car's in detail. and stuff like that. But we even still see a large amount of dealers that are doing things on paper. Some type of text message to email to maybe a spreadsheet trying to manage the reconditioning process. And unfortunately, when you're measuring it and managing it that way, you're just not getting enough data in order to actually help make your reconditioning process more efficient. So, and then it becomes a blame game, right? So vehicles are sitting in mechanic too long, they're waiting on parts too long, the sublets have the vehicle too long. And it's simply just because they're kind of blind to seeing what's exactly going on in the reconditioning process. So tools like Repair 360 kind of help put structure around the reconditioning process. So it measures every step of the process. It measures things like idle time. You know where your car sits, you know why it's sitting there, you know what your costs are around that reconditioning unit, you know how long your sublets are taking with the vehicle. And now you can actually manage it because you are measuring it.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that there are dealer groups that are still doing it on paper, which it really blows my mind with the amount of information that requires for you to have a successful sale on a vehicle. And the other thing is, I've heard lately in events and people and dealerships that we talk to that even Excel is now becoming outdated if you don't have the technology in your stores to be able to move these units along. Speed to sale is critical in used car reconditioning. How can dealers shrink their recon cycle time without sacrificing quality?
Yeah, so the thing that we coach our customers on that we've seen most through our research is really actually around idle time. It tends to be the biggest area that impacts the most around their cycle time. Technicians aren't usually the bottleneck in the process. It's just the car sitting around and aging out. So if you can work on tightening off your handoffs from one location or one step of the process to the next step of the process, you can end up shaving days off of your cycle time. So stores that really manage that aren't necessarily working harder than another store. They just have visibility into where the vehicles are sitting and why they're aging. And then they shorten that window and that helps them drive down cycle time without sacrificing any quality at all.
Wow. What, you just gained a lot of friends from Fixed Ops when it said it's not all on the technicians.
Not all on the technicians, that's for sure.
That's not all their fault. So are you finding that the used car market is shrinking a little bit now in forms of dealers getting those used car units?
We definitely do see that it is shrinking a little bit as far as them getting the used car units. Definitely the economics is changing in the economy. So, and even the way customers are buying vehicles today is starting to change, right? So it is something that the dealers have to actively manage and also manage how much they're putting into each unit to maximize the amount they're getting out of the unit.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. So if there's a dealer listening to this podcast right now that doesn't have a process, whether it's written or someone's been doing it for a long time or utilizing technology and going through that data you talked about, what are some things that they should look at to change what they're doing to get that workflow a little bit better? You know, obviously the company you work for offers a lot of those solutions. What's something they should be, you know, should be important to them?
Yeah. So, you know, the thing that we always coach folks on is no tool is going to supplement a bad process or no process. So regardless if you use our tool or another tool, you still need to have a process. So usually we just recommend documenting whatever process you have today, trying to create that process the best that you can, and then you can layer on a tool. All the tool is going to do is bring visibility into where there's inefficiencies in your process. So once you have a process, you can layer on a tool like Repair 360. It'll help manage the process you have, give you visibility. And then we have folks on our team that actually help coach dealerships into optimizing their process to make it as efficient as possible.
Wow. Okay. So you don't, not just here's the tool, figure it out and that's it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. No, yeah. We try not to do that. We want our customers to be successful and gain the most value out of the product.
All right. What role is mobile repair and remote service playing in this reconditioning ecosystem, and how will that evolve for next year?
Yeah, it's a good question. So mobile repair and remote services is really solving the capacity problem for dealerships without needing to add additional bays or additional headcount. So things like calibrations, diagnostics, cosmetic work, I mean, you can bring that right to the car without needing to take the car anywhere else. So that's a huge advantage for a dealership. So what we see into next year, into 2026, is it really becoming a core part of a reconditioning strategy. So dealers will use them to handle, you know, spikes in volume, specialty work, shortage in staffing, right? And they'll be able to leverage that in order to continue to optimize their capacity and their throughput and see their cycle time stay consistent.
Eric, one of the things that we talk about is when you're in the dealership, how many passwords, how many systems do you have to get into? And the employee gets frustrated with having to have so many logins and so many different areas that they have to look at just to follow one unit. How important is integration between recon tools and other platforms like DMSs, CRMs, or other inventory systems?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, right? So the systems aren't connected. You end up essentially doing double rekey work all day long. And so whatever value you gained out of the product, you end up losing in administration work. So, and on top of that, it really does slow things down, but it introduces errors, right? So you may have your recon system telling you the vehicle is recon ready, and then your DMS saying that it's still in reconditioning and they can't sell the unit. So we see that as a very important part of this process, making sure that the systems talk to each other, they're in communication, and they stay updated to help solve that problem.
That's really interesting. I like that, because when I was an advisor, just like Eric said, I had to jump through hoops and be on 10 different programs, right? So that I like how that shortens it up. Is this mostly a tool for sales, or is it for both departments to kind of keep communication going?
Yeah, it is for both departments. There are tools that are out there that really are for sales. We like to say we're kind of built for fixed ops as well. Mostly to help them manage the unit through the reconditioning process. There's a lot of swivel chair operations that they have to do that we help remove through some of this process, like understanding what labor is applied to the vehicle, helping them identify parts, get quotes on parts and stuff like that. So they get a ton of value out of that. But at the same time, the sales team also gets a lot of value of understanding where the vehicle is, how long it's been in recon, so they know when they can show the car, if they can sell the car, and stuff like that as well.
Oh yeah, you just brought up a core memory. A salesperson showed a customer a vehicle that wasn't detailed yet.
Yes, yeah.
Customer was all about buying it, and it was dirty.
Yeah.
It removes
that thought. As think about when we're going to purchase a vehicle, right? And you're thinking about the car and how nice they may be, and then you get there, and it's not it. It takes away so much value from the vehicle itself. From a data and compliance standpoint, what should dealers be thinking about as they digitize more of their reconditioning process?
Yeah, well, the answer there really is in the name, right? It is digitization. So actually creating the path of having compliance. So if you want to provide a solution to your customers that is standardized, the only way to do that is to do it in a digital way, making sure that you're capturing your multi-point inspection or your cosmetic inspection in a digital way, making sure that the record of who approved what or whether or not you declined to do certain work is also captured. And that will then make sure that you are delivering a standard product to your customer, right? So you know that the vehicle was detailed. You know that the work on the vehicle was done. You know that a mechanic looked at all 182 items on your multi-point inspection because you have a record of that actually happening. So that's great. That's a ton of value to the dealer, adds a ton of value to the customer. But from a compliance standpoint, you also have those records for when you need it.
Now, can you share a real world example of a dealership or group that transformed their recon results into using their tech, and what were their outcomes?
Yeah. So one of our customers is Echo Park. They are a large used car company that reconditions at scale at centralized reconditioning centers. So they deployed our tech at 14 of their reconditioning centers. Some of the reconditioning centers are doing a few thousand units per month. So this really is at scale. But they were able to bring their cycle time down to 5 days. And when you're moving that volume of vehicle, 5 days is a big accomplishment. But the other things that they really saw as a success is they improved their labor allocation, they were able to tighten their sublet control because they rely a lot on sublets. They were able to standardize their supplement process where before it was kind of done on emails and things like that kind of got lost. And another big win is they were able to give a lot of real-time analytics back to the leadership of that company to help show the value that it is that they were creating as a unit, reconditioning these vehicles. And really, as a result of that, right, they're turning vehicles around faster, they have better margins, and overall, it's a smoother operation.
Now, can this also affect customer retention and giving that customer a great experience?
Yeah, absolutely, right? So if you have a standard to which you like to bring a vehicle to market, this helps with that because it helps you apply your standard to that vehicle every time. And then there's documentation that that standard is followed. So that way, when the customer ends up buying the vehicle, they have confidence in the product that you actually supplied to them. So that's a big win for the dealership and keeps the customer coming back and keeps them happy.
I love that. So yep. What are some hidden costs dealers incur by not having a modern recon process? And how can they measure ROI on a reconditioning tech?
Yeah, so good question. First one is not going to be a surprise, but still is the number one that everybody's familiar with. It is really the holding cost of the vehicle. So, you know, any extra days in your recon process is costing the dealership money. It's not something that's easily measured or well seen, but that money is there. So having a really modern reconditioning process where you are actually bringing down your cycle time does reduce the hidden cost of the holding cost of the vehicle. But outside of that, there are other things that that are definitely adding to that. And some of it is around like tech inefficiency. You know, do you have your technicians working on the right vehicle at the right amount of time and they're doing it in an efficient way? Sublet overruns, things around supplements, like making sure supplements are caught early in the process so they don't cause problems downstream, poor visibility. And then another big one that we see a lot is really around rework. So by having a modern reconditioning process and using a software system like Repair 360, dealers can manage or measure ROI by, you know, looking at their cycle time, seeing what their labor efficiency is, lowering the recon variance from unit to unit, and then really how quickly the vehicles are getting to the front line so they can get sold.
All right. So I'm sure you've been in plenty of installs with this product. Do you work with the individual dealer to have a process, or is it just, this is our process and you got to follow it, right? And it's not really made for the individual store?
Yeah, no. I mean, we work with each individual store on the process that they have, and then we make recommendations to the process where we think they can become more efficient. Some dealers have really good processes, and then the software just helps amplify the process they already have. We do work with some dealers that have no process. So while we're installing the software, we do coach them through that and help them through that. And then sometimes they have a process, they apply software to it, and they just see that it's not very efficient. And we help provide coaching on where we think that they can make improvements in order to help them become more efficient. But it is definitely built for the store level, or even if we're working with a multi-store operation, we can apply the same strategy.
Yeah, that was going to be kind of my follow-up is if you're dealing with a 12-store or 32-store group, it's not, this one process isn't going to really meet all of them. Do you go to like each individual dealer in that group and to launch this?
Yeah, so it's really up to the dealer. So we always encourage dealers to try to standardize their process as best as possible. That way, when they make a change, they can make it universal and they can see the impact of that change. Obviously, you know, in the real world, that doesn't always apply. So we do end up working with each individual dealer in the dealer group to make sure that the software fits the process that they have in case they have any unique situations that we need to account for.
Yeah, when Eric and I go to dealers and we do process development, we get the team in the room and we, you know, do this big rah-rah meeting and have them come up with ideas and we start writing it down. And then we build this 44 pages, Eric?
Yeah, we're right in that area.
Yeah, of just process from soup to nuts, how we take care of a customer on every single level, what play to run. And then they practice that play over and over and over again until they have it down, right? Yeah. Do you follow that up with a written process, or is it just all digitized where it's almost like a pass through, right?
Yeah, the software does apply the process for them. So it is kind of a pass through, but we do document it for them. That way they have a copy of it that they can keep and work from in the future. Because sometimes it's easier to change it on the paper process before you apply the software to it. But to follow back up with your statement, you know, when we first engaged with Echo Park, their 14 locations were all ran independently. So they all had different processes. They were all kind of doing their own thing. And then, you know, working with dealers, everybody will tell you it's because we're unique. Well, yeah, over time,
our customers are used to this.
Yeah, exactly. Over time, though, we worked with them to standardize that process across all 14 of their locations, which is what they do today. Now, there's scale differences where some's doing 500 cars a month, others are doing 1500 cars a month. But they were able to apply a very similar process to all of them. And now they're extremely efficient in the way that they deliver their services to their customers, which is the dealerships that that they supply vehicles to.
So one of my favorite things to do in training and in class, and you know, I said right now, let's do it here, is role play, right? So let's just put it out there and say that Corey is the sales manager and he's a fantastic sales manager, right? I'm the service advisor in the office that's doing all the recon business. Can you give us an example and talk to us about how Recon 360, and this is where I think a lot of dealerships will really look at this moment and say, you know, how can it improve our relationship? Because there's many times that there are fantastic service advisors in the service lane, that right? They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then you have sales teams that do a fantastic job and everybody's doing what they should be doing. But when those two worlds collide, it's not good for the team to put that used car in somebody else's hand. How does Recon 360 bring those relationships a little bit closer?
Yeah, it's a good question, right? When you think about like what the sales team usually cares about is they want to make sure that they can put they have vehicles to sell to customers and they can put the customer in the right vehicle. And sometimes that's where the clash is, right? So you have one team that's trying just to recondition the vehicle, another team that wants to have the vehicles to sell. And where products like Repair 360 end up helping with this is it really helps with communication and visibility. So instead of there being a blame game between one group and another group, the tool is the source of the truth. So it can keep the sales team up to date with dashboards and different type of analytics. They'll be able to quickly search for vehicles and inside of the tool, know where they're at. They don't even have to leave the tool. They can be working in their vehicle inventory management system. And we have a tool that will tell them anytime it sees the VIN where that vehicle is in the reconditioning process and when we think it will be ready to hit the front lot, right? So we try to remove some of that communication barrier that we see is what causes a lot of the conflict between the two different groups.
And as far as operating system from a service team standpoint, most of the technology that comes out can be user-friendly for the service team. How does 360 make it user-friendly for the service team to be able to operate and communicate with the sales team?
Yeah, you know, a big part of it is really we work hard with our customers to understand exactly what the job is that they're trying to do, and we optimize the product around delivering that value. So for the sales team, we have dashboards that specialize just in the information that is that they're looking for, working with them as a partner, the same with the service team. So they don't have to go fishing around, they don't have to click on extra buttons. They see the units they need to work with. It tells them what they need to do with the vehicle. It keeps the vehicle driving forward. It automates the process of getting the job done. So it keeps everybody working in a very efficient way. And it's something we invest heavily in, at least on our side with Repair 360, to make sure we're continuously getting feedback from our customers and improving the product to make it as easy to use and as efficient to use. Because we know in the end of the day, people just want to work on vehicles and the sales team want to sell vehicles, right? So and our products is just there to help them make that transition easier.
Corey, I wish I had this tool when I was service advising.
Yeah, me too. It's definitely a unique, and I love technology anyway, and I always have. That's probably why Eric and I get along so well, because we love technology. We love talking this type of stuff. I got this last question for you, and we're right up against the time here. If you could make a bold prediction about the reconditioning industry in 2026, what would that be?
Yeah, I think unfortunately vehicle sales are probably going to soften in 2026 because of tariffs and just the broader economic pressures. We're probably going to see volumes dip a little bit. But at the same time, what that means for dealers is that they're going to need more, be more strategic about the vehicles that they do recondition and get tighter around the controls so they can manage the costs around those vehicles to maximize the amount of money that they can make on the vehicles that they do sell.
All right. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Eric, don't hold me to it, but yes.
I won't. Eric, what are your three takeaways from this episode that anyone that works in the dealership that's listening can take away and implement into their dealer right now?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is still around optimizing the process that you have. If you don't have a process, any process is better than no process, right? So once you kind of get that documented, then you can apply a product like Repair 360 to kind of help you become more efficient, sell more units by reconditioning more units. Another thing that I think people can take away is there's from the research that we've seen, there's a lot of money that people are leaving on the table through the appraisal process. And that's why we've chose to kind of integrate up into that process to help them become with like the Blue Driver to help them become more efficient with the appraisal process, capture more money through that process, and then make sure that it's managed through the reconditioning process. And then the last thing that we see, you know, because it is trending, is really around vendor sublet relationship and management, right? Keeping, taking back control of the vendors, requests for work, their supplements, and bringing that upstream to where the dealer recommends what's actually going on. That helps them manage costs a lot better than waiting for a sublet to like walk the lot or something along those lines, where you're kind of reactionary to the process versus driving the process.
I really like those. Those are really good takeaways, Eric. Nice job. I love that. So it's just three guys talking right now, Eric. What does Eric do for fun?
Yeah, good question. So, I'm definitely a big health nut. So I do things. I go to the gym quite a bit. I love to run. I ran quite a few 100-mile ultra marathons. Not doing that as much because I'm working too much, but that's okay. And then I live in Temecula, California, which if you're not familiar, is Southern wine country. So if I'm not working, a lot of times you can find me at the winery.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm with you on the wine. I wouldn't run if someone was chasing me. So I'm not into the 100-mile, that kind of stuff. I'll walk. It will take me forever, yeah. But I'll do it. But wine, I'm down with wine, Eric. So next time we get together, we'll have some wine. How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, there's a handful of ways. Obviously, you can find me on LinkedIn. You can also go to our website, repair360.com. We have quite a bit of information there. And then you can always reach out to us at sales@repair360.com. Happy to connect, answer any questions that you have.
I love that. Thanks, Eric. EasyCare is a total performance provider working alongside your team to help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Eric, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll end with this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
You got it. Anytime.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with your host, Corey Smith, and co-host Eric Howdige. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.